Today's shiur is Masechet Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yotes Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah begins Shtei Yevamos. We have two Yevamos. So the case that we have is we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, married to two women not related, Rachel and Leah. And Rachel and Leah arrive saying, Zuay Meres Meis Bali, Rachel comes and says, my husband Reuven passed away. Zuay Meres Meis Bali, and Shimon, and Leah says, my husband Shimon passed away. And as we have previously learned, in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, a Yevama is not to be trusted. So even though each one of these wives is believed to say that her husband passed away, she can't be believed to allow her Yevama, who was a potential tzara, to get married. So here we have a situation where, let's look at Reuven. Reuven's wife, Rachel, comes and says that Reuven died. Shimon, we know and always knew, doesn't have any children. So under normal circumstances, Leah is a candidate to Reuven for Yibam. Well, Leah says that Shimon died. Why is she not going to receive? Why is she not going to receive Yibum? Because Rachel is saying that Reuven died, but we can't allow Leah not to be concerned about a Yibum requirement based on the testimony of Rachel. So, although we believe both of these women when they say their husbands are dead, we don't allow them to get married because, as far as we don't know that the Yavam is dead. Again, Shtei Yevamos, Zu Emeres Meis Bali, Zu Emeres Meis Bali, Zu Asura Mepnei Baal Shazu, Zu Asura Mepnei Baal Shazu. Next case, however. Lezu Edim, Lezu Ein Edim. We have another situation here. We have Rachel, again, Rachel was married to Reuven, Leah was married to Shimon. We don't need Rachel to tell us that Reuven is dead. We have Edim that tell us that Reuven is dead. Machlokes Rambam in the Rosh, when the Mishnah uses the word Edim, doesn't mean one aid, because as we've been learning, one aid is enough to give testimony that somebody is dead, or does the Mishnah mean two Edim? The Rambam says it means one aid, the Rosh says we need two Edim. But whatever case should not be. As far as Reuven's death, we don't need Rachel's testimony. We know it independently. Shimon's death, that we need Leah's testimony. We don't have Edim. So now we have a very interesting situation, says the Mishnah. Lezu Edim, Rachel knows that her husband died based on independent witnesses. Lezu Ein Edim, Leah, we need her testimony. Eshieshla Edim, Rachel, who we know for sure is a widow, Asura, cannot get married. Why? Because she needs Yibam. How do we know that her Yavam, Shimon, is dead? Only because of Shimon's wife Leah's testimony. We can't rely on that testimony. Ulazu Vezesh Ainli Adam. Leah, who we know Shimon is dead only because she said so, Mataris. Because what she need? Yibam. We know that Yibam isn't doable because we know independently through Adam that Reuven died. So Tosfos asks, what's the chiddush in the Mishnah? Of course, that's the case of the Mishnah. That the one that has to rely on the Yavama cannot, and the one that doesn't need to rely on the Yavama can get married, Lashuk. What's the Mishnah teaching us? So Tosfos says a very simple teretz. Since we have these two women, and they're both very similar to each other, perhaps Tosfos says we should think that Chazal should make a gzeira and say that if one woman may not get married, Leah in our example, then even Rachel shouldn't be allowed to get married. That's what the Mishnah says. The one that is not dependent on a Yevama for testimony may get married and has no bearing, and the other one may not get married. The Aruch HaNer says a very nice teretz. The Aruch HaNer says the following teretz. In the first case of the Mishnah, when each woman came in and said testimony that her husband died, the testimony contained two parts to it. One is that her husband is dead and she's no longer an Eishes Ish. And also it had bearing that her sister-in-law is not a candidate for Yibum because her Yavam died. So perhaps, I would think, says the Aruch Lener, the Mishnah is teaching us, that when the testimony has so much implication, so much is based on this testimony, we won't accept the testimony. But in the second case, there's not that much riding on the testimony. Because I don't need the wife to tell me that the husband is dead. We know it from the Eidim. So therefore, in that case, maybe we should be makel and allow both of them to get married. That's why the Mishnah says that under all circumstances, the one who's relying on the Yavama cannot, and the one that's not relying on the Yavama may. Similar case. Lezu banim, lezu ein banim. Ruvain Rachel. Rachel has children. So Rachel is anyway not a candidate for Yibum. So when Leah says that Shimon died, doesn't make a difference to Rachel anyway, because she's not a candidate for Yibum. On the other hand, Leah, on the other hand, doesn't have children from Shimon, so Rachel's testimony that Reuven died has significant bearing on her. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Lezu banim, lezu ein banim, eshesh labanim is anyway muteris, eshein labanim asura. Now we have another situation. Situation is as follows. We have four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Reuven's wife Rachel comes and says Reuven is dead. Shimon's wife Leah comes in and says Shimon is dead. As we started the Mishnah, we can't trust either one. We can't trust either one. No problem. Now, these people had two other brothers, Levi and Yehuda. So Rachel goes and has Yibum with Levi, and Leah goes and has Yibum with Yehuda. So far, so good. Now Levi and Yehuda pass away without children. So now the old testimony becomes relevant again. They got married to Levi and Yehuda because they didn't need to rely on each other. But now they do need to rely on each other. Why? Because how does Rachel know that Shimon is really dead? And now Shimon may be a candidate for Yibum, going back to the old testimony. Do we have that concern or not? And there's a machlokes. They get back to where they started at the beginning of the Mishnah. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Once they were married to Levi and Yehuda, the previous history of Reuven and Shimon is not relevant anymore, and therefore, even though they would not be permitted based on that testimony alone, that's not important, and we'll understand what Reb Elezer's position is later. Daruch Haner asks a simple question. To teach us this concept, the Mishnah could have taught us a simpler case. The Mishnah could have taught us a case like this. Three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Rachel comes and says her husband Reuven died. Rachel comes and says her husband Reuven died. Leah comes and says her husband Shimon died. And now they both have Yibum to Levi. And now Levi dies. So what's going to be the halacha? Could they go now and marry to the Shuk or not? Says Daruch Lener. The reason the Mishnah didn't choose that case, because in that case, these two women became tsaros to each other. They were married both to the same man, Levi. So that they impact each other is very obvious. Because tsaros, as we've learned so many times, have a terrible personal animosity. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches us the Chiddush, according to Rabbanan, where Rachel married Levi. And Leah married Yehuda, so they were never mamish tsaros. Still, the animosity of Yevamis is such a serious animosity, according to Rabbanon, that they can't get married because we go back to their old testimony that one isn't believed for the other. Tana, the Brisa gives us another case. Lezu Edom Ubanim, Lezu Edom V'loi Banim. One has both Edom Ubanim, so she has everything going in her favor, and the other one has no Edom Ubanim. Shteim Mutaris. They both could get married. Nisyabmu. Now, Nisyabu really, in most Gemaras, there's a two dots here. This is going back to the Mishnah. We now go back to what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nisyabu, if they had Yibam, again, the example that we just gave, Reuven married to Rachel, Shimon married to Leah, and then they go have Yibam to Levi and Yehuda, or Mesa, how Yivamim, and now Levi and Yehuda pass away, Asurinli Nasir. Tanakhama says, we're back to where we started. Reb Elezer, Imer, Hoyva, Hutrul, Yavim, Hutrul, Chaladam. And what we're going to spend time now is trying to understand Reb Elezer. By Rava, ask the Rav, my Talmud Reb Elezer, what is the basis for Reb Elezer's psak? Is it because Mishum de Kosova, Tsarmi Idil Chaverta? This concern that we've been discussing about one Yevamah saying Eidus that impacts another Shara or another Yevamah, Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree with. Adoma, Rabbi Elazar is not that Mekel. What's the reason? Mishum dehi lo makalkul nafsha. The situation is that if the Tzara goes and gets married, let's look at our situation. If Reuven's wife Rachel came and said Reuven is dead, and Reuven's wife we know is saying the truth, how do we know she's saying the truth? Because she went and married the Yavam. How would she go marry Yavam if she knows the truth? It's not the truth. So once she showed that it's really the truth, then we do trust her as far as the Yavam is concerned. Mishum dehi lo makalkul nafsha. So Titus asks an obvious question. The first side of a brother's consideration is that Rabbi Elazar holds that a tzara could be trusted for another tzara. That's the first side. Ask Titus if that's truly Rabbi Elazar's opinion. So why when we learn the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and the Mishnah says that tzaras, yivamas, are not trusted, shouldn't we have Rabbi Elazar disagreeing right there and then, if that's what the Gemara means? So Titus says, there was never a Havamina that Rabbi Elazar holds that one tzara could walk in and say testimony that impacts her tzara, that impacts the Yavama. Not trusted. Chamesh Nashim. What the Gemara is saying here is, specifically in our case, where this woman is saying primarily testimony that impacts her. And Agav Orcha, by the way, it also impacts somebody else. There Rabbi Elazar says she's believed, according to that side of Rava's consideration of what Rabbi Elazar holds. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Nafkamina. What's Nafkamina between these two ways of understanding Rabbi Elazar? Answers the Gemara, L'ntzobe l'tzar mekam d'da. If one tzara comes in and says her husband is dead, and it impacts the other woman also. See, I amrit tzara mi'idal chaverta. If we can say the reason Rabbi Elazar is makel, because Rabbi Elazar has no concern that a tzara could say Eidus, even that impacts the other tzara. So Afakav Delayansev, even if the tzara that said testimony did not yet get married, Mitzambiyan Lele Tzara, her other wife could get married. Why not? However, I'm Shem Dehila Makalkal and Nafsha, only when we see that her testimony is so true, that she acted based on her testimony. So therefore, says the Gemara, Intsiv, only in a situation where if Tzara who said testimony actually acted based on that testimony, that she got married to someone, so we see that she really meant it. There, Mitzambiyan Lele, however, Mitzambiyan Lele Tzara will let the other Tzara get married. Eloy Intsiv, but if she didn't act on the testimony, there's a concern that she's only doing it to mess up the other Tzara. She's not doing it because it's really the truth, and therefore Eloy Mitzambiyan Lele, we wouldn't let the other Tzara get married. And actually, the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have given a different Nafkamina. The Nafkamina is the first case of our Mishnah. If two Yevamos walk in, why do we have to have Tzaras? If two Yevamos, they're not Tzaras still, and they each say that the husband died. So the Rishonim answer, the Gemara wants to show, perhaps, how far Rabbi Elazar's Mekel. And not only is Rabbi Elazar Mekel in the case of Yevamos, but even in the case of Tzaras, that we just said a moment ago, hate each other so deeply, based on these considerations, Rabbi Elazar will be Mekel. So Mai, what is Pshat in Rabbi Elazar? Toshma, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hoyel v'hutrul Yevamim, hutrul chaladim. Since they can marry Levi and Yehuda, back to our Mishnah, they can marry anyone. Iyam b'shlam di hiloy makalkala nafsha, if we're going to say that the basis of Rabbi Elazar's opinion is, because once Sarah gets married, so it's obvious that she's saying the truth. Iyamrit, that's why she has to first get married. That the basis for Belezer is that one tzara could be trusted for the other tzara, so why does she have to get married to the Yavam? Isn't our Mishnah a clear indication that Tamid Belezer, since we see that the tzara got married based on a testimony, she's certainly not going to hurt herself, and that's why her tzara may get married, otherwise not. Rabbi Elazar says no, there's no proof. Because the way the Gemara says it's no proof. Because the way we could understand the Mishnah is this way. Rabbi Elazar l'divrayim kamalhu. Lididi, I really hold, even if the tzara didn't get married, that loch is tzara mi'idal chaverta. El l'tchu, according to you, oidali mias, shouldn't you at least agree to me the Hecha, the Insev Mitzvah Bidinlai, that it was Sarah said testimony. And not only did she talk, but she worked. She actually got married based on that testimony. Isn't that a proof that that's true? Mishum Dehila Makalkala Nafsha. And certainly now, her testimony should be accepted, even as far as it affects the other Tzara. Rabban and Thomas Nafshin Plishn Hudukavda. Listen to this Gemara, what the Gemara says. Here we have a case that the Tzara walked in and said her husband died. Not only did she say her husband died, she actually got married based on that testimony. So that, Rabbi Lozer says, is the biggest proof that what she said is the truth. Say to her brother, no. Maybe her husband never died. Why did she get married? Because she wants to harm her other Tzara. And she knows when the other Tzara sees her get married, she'll get married. What's the repercussions? That she'll never be able to go back to her husband either. The Tzara that said testimony is also lost from her husband. Her sinner is so great, that she's willing to hurt herself and harm herself, that she shouldn't be able to go back to her husband, as long as her Tzara shouldn't be able to go back either. Tashma, says the Gemara. We have a situation, a woman went with her husband overseas, and she comes and says, my husband passed away. So for herself, she's trusted. However, a tzara cannot be trusted. If she's allowed to get married, so too may her tzara. So we see here that Rabbi Lezer clearly holds, we don't need that she got married. We just need that as soon as she says the testimony, she's trusted as far as the other tzara is concerned. And so that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Ema hoyo v'hutra v'nissus. Doesn't mean that she actually said testimony and that's enough to help her tzara. She actually has to act on the testimony. Otherwise, it's not enough. Ask the Gemara. Again, we see how people could have bad intentions. So the Gemara's concern is as follows. Again, we have one gentleman, his name is Reuven. He was married to two women, Rachel and Leah. Leah traveled overseas with Reuven. Comes home and says that Reuven died. Not only does she say that Reuven died, she goes and gets married. So that should be the biggest proof that what she's saying is true. Otherwise, why would she go get married to someone else? So the Gemara is concerned, no. Maybe Leah and Reuven got divorced. So when Leah is getting married again, she's not getting married because Reuven is dead. She's getting married because she's a divorcee. You'll ask, Rachel is not her tzara anymore because she's not Reuven's wife. So we said before, the sinner of tzaras is so great that even when they're not tzaras anymore, they still hate her. They still hate each other. That's how some explain. Others explain differently. She really wants to hurt this family because her husband divorced her. So she wants to pay back. So that's what the Gemara's concern is. V'leichish, Dilma Begita Soy. She's getting married not because her husband died. She's getting married because she got divorced. V'hayde Kamar Hachi. So why is she saying that her husband died? L'kalkalot Tzori Mechavna. She wants to hurt Rachel. Says the Gemara, you're right. If this divorcee, this woman that we're concerned is a divorcee, would marry Yisrael, the fact that she's saying that her husband is dead doesn't mean that she's saying the truth. We have to be concerned she's only saying it to hurt the tzara. That Leah married a Kayin. If she's a Grusha is not allowed to marry a Kayin. The fact that she married a Kayin is a real proof that what she said is indeed true. And therefore, under those circumstances, her co-wife now could be certain that it's the truth and also get married. We begin now a new sugya. We've been discussing people who die and we need to know if they're truly dead. Here we find the body. And the Gemara begins the very difficult sugyas of describing under what is enough identification. Says the Mishnah, Eimi Edim, Ela parts of Panam Mechaitim. It's to identify a body, we have to have the face. We'll discuss in the Gemara more what does the face actually mean. There's a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim here. Most Rishonim seem to say that the Gemara is saying to identify a body, we always need the parts of Panim. Others say, Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that says, if the body is whole, we don't need the parts of Panim, we don't need the face and the nose. The Mishnah that requires parts of Panim is only referring to a situation where the body is not whole. If you have says the Gemara, even if there are simonim, there are signs on the body, or the caliph, or we find that he's wearing certain things that we know to be this person's, it's not enough. And we'll discuss this more in the Gemara too. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, we have to know that the person is dead. For example, I feel a raw meguyed. If we saw the person was stabbed with a sword. And the first, the Rishonim go on to say to what degree. Some say they had to be stabbed in an artery, that there's a life-threatening, you can't live if that artery was severed. Others say it doesn't have to be so serious. The tzolov, or he was hanging. Here too we find the machlokes Rishonim. Some say tzolov means strictly if he was not hanged by a noose. But if he was hung by a noose, then we can't say, because he's certainly going to choke. Chayo, chelspa, even we see an animal eating him. All these cases, that's not conclusive proof. Next thing, Amy idem elad gimel yomim. We have to wait for 3 days. Only up to 3 days are these identifications acceptable. After 3 days, they're not acceptable. Here too, we have a number of machloikasim. Taisha says that even though the Mishnah says that we only have up to 3 days for positive identification, says Taisha, that's if it's not gufay sholim. If gufay sholim, if we have the whole body, then we don't have this 3-day limit. How much of a limit we have, we'll discuss in the Gemara. Other Rishonim disagree. They say when the Mishnah says 3 days, it's 3 days. Then we have a very, very fundamental machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashba. We find the body. We identify the body. But we don't know how long this body is here. Is it 3 days, or is it not 3 days? If it's 3 days, if it's past 3 days, it's no longer acceptable identification. Can we have a suffix? We don't know. What's the halacha? Rabbeinu Tam is Mekel. He says, since this entire requirement of 3 days is drabonon, suffix drabonon lekula, and we could be Mekel and rely on identification. The Rashba, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch says that if we have a suffix, if it's past 3 days, we can no longer rely on these identifications. Although the Paiskim do say that we can use the Rabbeinu Tam's shita as a sniff. We can't rely on that as the only means of identification. That means if we don't know for sure if it's 3 days or not, but if there are other reasons to be makel, we can combine that to be makel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, I'm a local adav, local makav, local shoven. Not all situations are the same. We'll understand Rabbi Yehuda more in tomorrow's shir. Tana Rabbanan says the Braisa. When we talk about padachas, the loy parts upon him, if you only have the forehead but not the face, or parts upon him, v'loy bedachas, or you have the face without the forehead, you have to have the face, the forehead, and the nose. Most mepharshim explain padachas, meaning the forehead. There are those rishonim that want to say that padachas means the cheeks. And then there's also another machlokes rishonim, achronim too. If we say these things, is it enough to have most of the forehead, most of the cheeks, or all of the forehead, or all of the cheek? Amar Abaye, we tell him, Rav Kana Maikra, where do we see that that's what we need? Because the pasuk says, Hakoros Pneim Ontzubom, their face. So there's machlokes rishonim how to understand this too. Some say Hakoros Pneim means from here we see that the face is the crucial identifier. Others say Hakoros Pneim, where the pasuk uses the word Hakoros to say it's not just to have enough to have the Pneim, the face, you also have to have the forehead. Says the Gemara, Abba Ba Masa Du Abba Ba Menyumi, we had this gentleman, have a mask of the Reish Galusa Zuzi. He owed money to Reish Galusa. So he wanted to disguise himself. Isakira, he took a rag, Dovik Bibalyose, he dipped it into wax, Dovik Bapose, and he put that wax on his forehead, Cholef Lakamayu, they passed by him, the Lord Bashkarua, and they could not identify him. So what the Gemara is proving is that the forehead is the important part, because he covered his forehead and he was no longer recognizable. So I saw two questions. According to Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, that we explained at the beginning of the Mishnah, that when the body is whole, then you don't need the face. So he was a whole body. So why is disguising his forehead going to conceal him? So Mefarshim answer that what the Gemara here means to say is like this. If we're looking at a person, we're looking at him carefully, even if his face, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is somewhat not perfect, if I have the whole body and I'm really examining him, I can know it's him. Here they weren't really spending time doing a careful investigation. They were just walking by and trying, and if they would see him, they would know it's him. Otherwise, they weren't really paying careful attention, and therefore, disguising the forehead will be enough of a disguise if a person is not really paying close attention. But then there's an obvious question. Is that the right way to act? If I owe you money, so I've disguised myself, so you shouldn't be able to collect? Is that appropriate? So Mefarshim answer, this Gemara actually appears in Masechta Shabbos also. What happened here was like this. It wasn't that he owed them money. Abba B'Masa did not owe the Resh Galusa money. The Resh Galusa were collecting taxes. The halach is, we discussed this previously, that Talmidei Chachamim were exempt from paying the head tax. So if somebody came to Abba B'Masa for tax, and he wanted to not pay, he had to say, I'm a Talmid Chacham, I'm exempt. But Abba B'Masa did not want to call himself a Talmid Chacham. But he also didn't want to pay taxes. So what did he do? Instead of declaring that he's a Talmud Chacham, what he did was he disguised himself, and they won't recognize him, so they won't ask him for the tax that he should have to proclaim, I'm a Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara, Avi Shei Simonim. So the Mishnah said that even if a person has Simonim, it's not adequate. So the introductory remarks to this Gemara is a Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia. We're all familiar with the Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia that speaks about Simonim. That we find something and we have to return it. Hashavas Aveda, the person who lost it has to bring simonim. He has to bring a sign that this is his. There are three types of simonim that the Gemara discusses. There's a simon muvak, a very unique simon. There's a simon beinani, which is a simon but not so unique. And there's a simon garua, a simon that's really not a simon. What would be a bad simon? The Gemara gives a number of examples. If a person is tall or short, we want to give you identifying mark about a person. I tell you he's tall, I tell you he's short. There are a lot of tall people, there are a lot of short people. If I tell you he's wearing a black suit, there are a lot of people that wear black suits. So it has to be, that's certainly not a simon. Says the Gemara, from our Mishnah, it seems that simonim are not accepted. Remember the simonim lav deraisa. Because our Mishnah says, Abishay simonim, even though the simonim, emidim alof. Vriminu asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech the Gittin. Motzuk kosher bekis uba arniki betabas. If a get was lost, and then it was found tied together with some sort of a wallet, or some sort of a ring, a shemotz ben kelov, or it's between the other items of the person bringing the get, I feel it was mamaruba, even if it's a long time since that get was lost, kosher. And as the Rishonim explained, here it's not just mominous. It's not just returning to somebody something that he lost. It's a shiloh of Eishes Ish, if we're going to accept the get. And we accept it. We do rely on it. So why in our Mishnah, where it's also an issue of Eishes Ish, do we not rely on Simonim? Amar Abaye, like Kasha, Harav Elazar b'Mavoi, Harabonin. It's Machlokes Tanoim, the Tanya Eimei Idim al Hashuma. If a person has a mole, the Tanakhama says that's a simon. We can't rely on that. Rav Elazar ben Mavoi Omer Me'idim. We can rely on it. My laugh. Bahakamufki. The mass sover. Rav Elazar ben Mavoi holds simonima de raisa, and therefore we can rely, and we can rely on it for a get, and we can rely on a simon to identify that the person is no longer alive. Umasov and Rabbanon disagree. They hold simonima de Rabbanon, and we can't rely to identify that a person is dead and let his wife get married based on Simonim. Amar Rava, Rava says we don't have to say that. The Kula Alma could agree that Simonim are Doiraisa. Hocha, Meshuma Mitsui Beben Giloi Kemiflegi. We find a mole in the person. And we all knew that this person had this mole. The question is that considered a simen? Rav Hanan hold that people who were born at the same time, the Gemara many times speaks about a ben giloy, people who were born at the same time, even though they don't know each other, they live on different sides of the world, have a lot of common characteristics, not only behaviorally, but even physically. So it's very likely that just because this person has this mole, the other person who was born the same time has the same mole. A masava shumim b'tzuyim ben giloy, and therefore it's not a good mark to rely on for identification. Or masava ain't a b'tzuyim ben giloy. It's not a good mark. It's not. People are different, and therefore this is a good simon. Ikedemri hocha b'shuma asui l'shtanis lachem iskum asugi. Everybody agrees that we could rely on a simon. Everybody says that we're not the same. And just because I have an identifying mark, we do not have to be concerned that another person has that same mark, even if he's my ben giloy. The machlokes here is different. What happens because of death? The Rabbanan hold that at death, the mole doesn't go away, but it changes colors. And the color is a very important element in using a mole as a simen. And therefore, if I see this mole, the color, even if it's the same color that he had while he was alive, that really doesn't mean anything, because it may not be that person. And the fact that he has the same color is a bad sign, because usually it changes complexion. Or masava, asui l'shtanis lachamisa, it changes complexion, and therefore it's not the mole that was there during lifetime is no longer a good simen after death. Or masava ein asui l'shtanis lachamisa. V'kedamri, another version, is Amarov de Kulam Simon de Rabbonim. Everybody agrees that Simonim de Rabbonim. And an average Simon, this is the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, is not acceptable. V'hocha, v'shumen Simon, m'va kamifugi. So the way Rishonim explain the Gemara is everybody agrees that a Simon Beinoni, an average Simon, is not to be relied on. Here the Machlokes is, and everybody agrees that a simon mivak, a very unique simon, is to be relied on. We have a machlokes rishonim, and that also I saw. When the Gemara here is saying that everybody agrees that we could rely on a simon mivak, what does that mean? Does that mean midoraisa we could rely on a simon mivak? Or does it mean midoraboron we could rely on a simon mivak? But certainly we could rely on a simon mivak. And that is a mole, a simon mivak or not? Masover simon mivak. The man that relies on a shuma holds it's a simon mivak, and that's why we can rely on it. Or masover lav simon mivak. Ask the Gemara, ulahach lishna. According to the first version, Dama Rava. The Rava has everybody saying simonim daraisa. We can rely on a simon. So why did our Mishnah say, Haktani, our Mishnah told us, Apishiyesh by Simonim Begufa Bekalov, even though there's Simonim, we can't rely on it. Why? Our Mishnah, our Gemara, the first version of Rava has everybody agreeing that Simonim Adaraisa. Answers the Gemara as we said in our introductory remarks, Gufay, the Aruch Vigoth. There are certain Simonim that are certainly not Simonim. Aruch, a person being tall. Gutz, a person being short. That's not a simon, because there are many tall people. There are many short people. And therefore, even if we'll hold simonim, ought to be relied on. Even midoraisa, that's not a simon. Kalev, similarly, the chashinim l'sheil. We're concerned that he lent his kalim. So just because we find somebody, interesting Gemara, let's say we have a concern that somebody's missing, and we find a body wearing that person's suit. We know it's a suit. But we have to be concerned that the person is not that person that we're looking for. Why is this dead body wearing that suit? Because the person lent the suit to somebody else. Ask the Gemara if this is a real concern. The Gemara Masechta B'Metzia says that if somebody lost his donkey, again, how do we identify it's his donkey? By the saddle. We could say this is that donkey saddle, so we know it's that donkey. So why are we not concerned that the saddle isn't on a different animal? Answers the Gemara, Lo shayli unshi ukva, the maskele l'chamra. People, very interesting, people never lent out their saddles from one donkey to the other. And the way the Mefarshim explain is there are no two donkeys that are exact same size. So if one donkey is wearing a saddle, and now you lend that saddle to another donkey, you're going to have to adjust it to the second donkey size. Now when you're going to give it back to the first donkey, it's never going to fit right. And that's why people were very careful not to lend out the saddles from one animal to the next. So the Mefarshim ask, a very does Naim Latayra, Reb Zalman Sorotzkin, Lotzkarov, asks a question. We all remember the parasha that the Torah tells us that when Yosef's brothers wanted to prove to Yaakov that Yosef was dead, they brought the Ksoinis Pasim, they put it into blood, and Yaakov Avinu sees the Ksoinis Pasim, and he says, Taraf, Taraf, Yosef, Yosef was devoured, Chai Roach Lesur. But why is it a simon? Our Gemara just says that Kalim, clothing, is not a simon, because we should be concerned that it's that it was sent, that it was lent out to someone else. But how is Yaakov so certain? Yaakov Avinu took Sadavelis, and he was certain. So the Mefarshim answer, when the Gemara here says, and this is used by Paiskim, but the Gemara says that simonim are, that clothing is lent one to the other, that's only normal clothing. Yaakov Avinu knew that the Ksoinis Pasim, which was such a special garment that Yaakov had made just for Yosef, Yosef would have never given that away. He would have never lent that out to someone else. And therefore, it was a legitimate simon. So I saw in a sefer that Rav Tzadik HaKoyin asked a question. But we see that that wasn't true. Because Yaakov Avinu thought it was a real simon. And Itaka thought that Yosef Avinu never would have lent his beggar to someone else. But we know it wasn't a real simon. We knew that Yosef is really alive. So how could the Gemara say, asked Rav Tzadik, if you don't lend, how could everybody say if you don't lend out the begadim, it's truly a good simon? Yosef should be a proof that even if you don't lend out your clothing, you have a ksoinis pasim that you'll never lend out, it shouldn't be a simon. What's the raya? Yosef. So the Chiddush Arim answered the Rav Tzadik's kasha. Chiddush Arim says that every word of the Torah is emes. And if the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu said that this is a simon, it's a real simon. That was an aberration. But if Yaakov Avinu taught us, Ach Taraf Taraf Yosef, that Yosef was devoured, because he saw the Ksoinis Pasim, this is the biggest raya that the Torah considers clothing when there's no concern that they were lent out a legitimate simon. Ask the Gemara, Motzah Kosher B'Kisa B'Aniki B'Tabas, if the get was found tied up with one of these things, then we can rely that it's a good get. Ask the Gemara, Heich Madrinan, why do we give it back? Why do we rely on the get? So answers the Gemara, Tabas Chayish L'Ziyufei, people don't give out, Tabas was a signet ring, and that's the way they signed the checks. Nobody gives that out. Kis V'Aniki, Menachshi Inshi V'Loi Mushli. People don't lend, people, it was a bad sign to lend out your wallet and your pocketbook. And therefore, again, it's a legitimate simon. Even though Tosfos asks, Masecht Bava Metzia, there's a pasuk that says Lo Sanachshu, so we're not supposed to follow superstition. So Tosfos answers that when it's Letzorich Refuah, when a person is doing it just to stay healthy, we're allowed to. Vivai say Mekalov, when are Kalim not considered a legitimate simon? Again, the Chivri V'Simki. If somebody comes and says he was wearing a white shirt, there are a lot of people that wear white shirts, or wearing a red shirt, a lot of people that wear red shirts. That's why they're not simonim, because it's not at all unique. The Gemara said, the Rafila Raw Meguyed, the Mishnah said, that if we saw the person Meguyed, we can consider him, we can't know that he's dead. Ask the Gemara, Lamer, the Meguyed Chai, is it mean that somebody who's Meguyed can live? For Minu, I ask the following question. Adam Enim Atama. The Mishnah says, a person doesn't become Tamei, Achetetz Nafsha, until he's actually dead. I feel Meguyed, I feel Tkaisis. Even if he's an important part of his body is severed, even if he's a geisus, he's not tamei. So what's the deek in the Mishnah? Tamur la matama. Tamur smes, he doesn't give off until he's actually dead. Hamichya lechai, but he can't live. So why is our Mishnah saying that we saw him meguyed? We have to be concerned that maybe he's going to live. Doesn't that Mishnah seem to say that someone who's meguyed cannot live? Answers the Gemara, Amrabaya, Vaitasha. Harab Shemelosa, Harabonim. The Tanya, Me'idin al Meguyed, we could say Edis, that we see somebody Meguyed, we could be certain that he died, they Me'idin al Tzolov. But we see somebody hanging, we can't say Edis. Rav Shimon Lozo Aimer, Af al Meguyed, Einem Me'idin, even if somebody's Meguyed, we can't say Edis that he's able to survive, Neshiyach Lichvais Lichvais. He could get healed and live. So in other words, our Mishnah that says that when we see somebody's Meguyed, we cannot be certain that he's going to die, is going according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says that even somebody who's Meguyed can live. Ask the Gemara, Omi Matzis Lokli, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, can we explain our Mishnah that it follows the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Vaptani Seifa? Let's learn in the next Mishnayos we're going to learn. The Mishnah says, Maisa Ba'asya, there was a story in Asya, it's never paced, Bechet Sheshlu Eliyam, somebody was lowered into the ocean, and they only brought up his foot. That was all that was left for him. And the Chacham said, if the part of his foot that was brought up is lower than the knee, he could still live. But if the part that he brought up is above his knee, if above the knee was brought up, so he's certainly a treifa, and he cannot live. But if the part that was brought up is only the part of the leg below the knee, so this person could still survive. So we see that a meguyed doesn't live, and that's why the Mishnah there says that if the part of the knee, if the part of the leg above the knee was brought up, he can't survive. So let's understand the Gemara's kasha. Our Gemara is saying that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that a Meguyed can't survive. From there we see that a Meguyed can't survive, and that's why even if we see him Meguyed, we can't be certain he's dead. Our Mishnah says that all we did was bring up the leg above the knee, and we can be sure he's dead. That's certainly a case of Meguyed. Answers the Gemara, Shani Maya, the Mirzi Maka. There it's a situation where he was fell into the ocean, and the ocean irritates the wound, and that's why even Rabbi Lezer will agree that the person, if the part of the leg that was brought up is above the knee, could have never survived. The Mefarshim go on and say, from where do we know that a person whose leg was severed above the knee cannot survive? So the Gemara Masechta Chulin identifies all the things that make an animal a treifa, and that's one of the things that is considered a treifa. And the Mefarshim go on to say that even though the Gemara and the Rishonim and Masechta Chulin discuss at great length are the exact same things that make an animal treifa, where they make a person a treifa, and there's not total agreement on that, everybody agrees that this type of treifa will make a person will be a treifa by a person, and will be a treifa by an animal, and treifa by a person. In fact, there's a very interesting machlokes Rishonim. The Rishonim have this machlokes. Here we're saying that the person who we pulled up his leg above the knee certainly would have died, because he's a treifa. The Gemara Masechta Chulin describes a treifa as somebody who can't survive for 12 months. So let's say somebody, Rahman al-Islam, we should never hear such stories, fell into the yam, and we pull up his leg, and we'll talk tomorrow how we know for sure it's his leg, and it's above the knee. So we know for sure he's going to die. But he only know for sure he's going to die within 12 months. So when will his wife be allowed to marry? Does she have to wait 12 months? That's what the Rajba says. He's a treifa, but a treifa can live up to 12 months. Or do we allow her to marry right away? But there, so Rav Shimon ben Elazar will agree there. Ask the Gemara, I saw this merchant, the shakal safsere, the gaidel gamle, they cut off the leg, the laafskal in the garusai, and he was not able to stop crying. Amrabaya hik chishahava. That was a very weak animal, and therefore, it couldn't survive. Otherwise, the animal could survive with its maguyit. Ravama, besakim ulvenis for the vriyakol. Rava says a new teretz. Rava says that even though the rabbanon say that a maguyit cannot survive, and if Shimon Elazar says a maguyit can survive, there is a situation that everybody agrees that a maguyit can survive, and that is if he was stabbed or cut with a hot knife. So the knife, since it's hot, as it stabs the person, it also heals the person because of the heat. And therefore, if he was stabbed with such a knife, he could survive. So now I saw a very interesting machlokes. Let's say we see a person who's maguyed. There's no question he's maguyed. But we don't know if he was maguyed with a hat knife, that the rabbanon say he could survive, or was maguyed with a regular knife that they hold he can't survive. How do we look at that person? Some rishonim say we have to be machmer. Since we don't know, we have to be concerned that maybe it was a hat knife. Other rishonim say that who goes, if he wants to stab somebody, to look specifically for a hat knife? And we could assume that it wasn't a hat knife. And then I saw a third shita. A man is who stabbed him. If he was just stabbed, we don't have to be concerned it was a hat knife. But sometimes you see that the person who's stabbing really wants to inflict pain. The government, the Malchus HaRishi used to do it, and they want to inflict pain. So they specifically use the hat knife that he should suffer and not die so fast. So we have to look at who was the one to stab to determine what should we think, was it a hat knife or not a hat knife.